Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Mo H., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Monday, May 27th, and this is the 10 a.m. meeting. And we will be reading from There is a Solution in the Big Book, on page 21, the second paragraph, beginning with the ninth sentence, which is about a little more than halfway down that paragraph. He has a positive genius for getting tight. And we're going to read through 11 sentences, ending on page 22. At the end of the paragraph, then he begins to appear at hospitals and sanitariums. And the comments will be on these 11 sentences only. Thank you very much. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Eileen M., the 12 Traditions, Sandy K., and the readers of the text are Sherry M., and I hope a person will show up for that. If not, I can do it. The share ID for Sunday, May 26th, is 21,432, and for that's 21432, and for this morning's meeting, Monday, May 27th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, is 21,433. That's 21433. Our announcements person is Shelley E., and thank you all for your service this month. Over a preamble, Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. For members, we are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on side issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Eileen M. to read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Eileen.
Good morning. This is Eileen M., recovered compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. The 12 steps. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people, wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Passed.
Thank you very much, Eileen M. I will now ask Sandy K. to read the 12 traditions of OA. Good morning, Sandy.
Hi, thank you. This is Sandy Kay calling from Plantation, Florida, another recovered compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon AA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or AA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the alcoholic who still suffers. 6, an AA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the AA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Alcoholics Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, AA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Alcoholics Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the AA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you very much, Sandy Kay. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute your phone. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to remute your phone again. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are in the chapter, There is a Solution, on page 21, the second paragraph, and that we're beginning with the ninth sentence down, which is a little more than halfway. He has a positive genius for getting tight. And we're going over to page 22. To the end of that paragraph, then he begins to appear at hospitals and sanitariums, and the comments will be on those 11 sentences only. And I will now ask Sherry M. to get us started. Good morning, Sherry.
Hey, good morning. He has a positive genius for getting tight at exactly the wrong moment, particularly when some important decision must be made or engagement kept. He is often perfectly sensible and well-balanced concerning everything except liquor, but in that respect, he is incredibly dishonest and selfish. He often possesses special abilities, skills, and aptitudes, and has a promising career ahead of him. He uses his gifts to build up a bright outlook for his family and himself, and then pulls the structure down on his head by a senseless series of sprees. He is the fellow who goes to bed so intoxicated he ought to sleep the clock around. Yet early next morning, he searches madly for the bottle he misplaced the night before. If he can't afford it, he may have liquor concealed all over his house to be certain that no one gets his entire supply away from him to throw down the waste pipe. As matters grow worse, he begins to use a combination of high-powered sedatives and liquor to quiet his nerves so he can go to work. Then comes the day when he simply cannot make it and gets drunk all over again. Perhaps he goes to a doctor who gives him morphine or some sedative with which to taper off. Then he begins to appear at hospitals and sanitariums. What a mouthful. Good morning. My name's Sherry M. Gratefully recovered today in Wyoming. And I'm going to just break it down. Thanks, Mo, for your service and happy Memorial Day. He has a positive genius for getting tight. Okay, so that I'm going to identify in what's resonating with me. I've been told to put this in the first person if needed and change it to she. So I am often perfectly sensible and well-balanced concerning everything except food. But in that respect, I am incredibly dishonest and selfish. This really resonates. The epitome, the very definition of addiction is selfishness and dishonesty. So I absolutely identify that, being dishonest with myself. And there's nothing more selfish than choosing a substance over people and life, when that has to be the number one forefront. I never had a family because I chose substances over people. So what better way that I don't have to hide anything from anybody to just live alone for my entire life so that I can just be me and my food, till death do us part, really, is how it was until I found program. I didn't get married until I was 48 years old, and I didn't have kids. They would have gotten in the way of me eating and drinking and doing everything else I had to do. So that is my story. So going to bed so intoxicated, well, I used to binge my brains out so bad that after, maybe 20 minutes into the binge and stuffing my stomach so full and so tight, so sick, I just passed out, which would happen. And then I'd wake up, and of course I needed to have that substance again. And then the combination, so for me, I just remember my entire 20s and into my 30s was a combination of waking up, doing speed, then drinking, and then doing food. And I did these three, those are my combinations, but I did for about 10 years straight. And I needed all three of them in order to function and go to work. When it talks about an important date, that food didn't really get in the way so much of work, but I remember having an important, let's say a date night or something super special to me. But then I ate so much that I had digestive, GI issues, which I don't need to get into details. I'm sure anybody can relate who's compulsively overeaten. That got in the way of my wonderful romance. How selfish is that of me? And then the day came when I just did it all over again. I just did it all over again, and I could keep on living like that from now until dead if I don't do what's required. So this disease is cunning, baffling, and powerful, and I have a mind that tells me that I don't have a disease. I also live in delusion, so that's the dishonesty part. Sometimes we don't even know, or I don't even know when I'm being dishonest. I'm fooling myself and others because I think I have a handle on things when I don't. This disease will take me out at any time, and I pass. Thanks so much, Mo. Have a great meeting.
Yeah, thank you very much, Sherry, for getting us started. That was a really good in-depth share on that. Thank you. Oh, so although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So we're in There's a Solution on page 21, second paragraph. The ninth sentence down begins with, he is often perfectly sensible and well-balanced, and it ends on page 22 with, then he begins to appear at hospitals and sanitariums. And we're just commenting on those 11 sentences. Who would like to share on these 11 sentences?
Loretta H.
Loretta H.
Della Jean.
Della Jean.
Eileen.
Deborah G. I heard Deborah and then Eileen. Okay. So I have Loretta H., Della Jean. Didn't get your last initial, but I got your name. Deborah G. and Eileen M. Anyone in that lineup?
Jessica M.
Jessica M. Okay. I think we'll stop there. Please, everyone mute except Loretta H. And when you announce yourself, please tell us where you're calling from. Good morning, Loretta.
Hi, everyone. This is Loretta H. Thank you all along with my precious God. You are saving my life today, recovered in North Carolina. This paragraph is so poignant to my story. In the first year, I identified in with everything, you know, the getting tight at the wrong times, using food for any problem, any relationship. Next week, I'll be married for 54 years only because of this program, because for a very long time, food was my lover. And how I got here was in 2000, my dad died, and he wanted to make amends to me for his alcoholism. And I was in such throes of this disease that I actually couldn't fly out to California because I was so afraid that I was going to hurt myself or hurt somebody else with the food. In fact, I was at the point that Bill was with the sash going to jump out of my New York City apartment. And I didn't show up. But that really, really made me hit rock bottom where I'm an anorexic also, and I could not stop binging. God's grace and mercy, God's grace and mercy. In fact, today is a very special day for me because I actually, as my amends to my dad, was able to bring his ashes to North Carolina and give him a military funeral because he was a very important person in World War II. He did save a lot of lives with, he was an intel person, even in spite of himself, because he spoke three languages. And I am so grateful today that I could do that service for him. And it is only because of this program and how I need to change. Nobody else needs to change. And today, my life sometimes gets complicated, but I have the solution, which is what this is about. Today, I know God, K-N-O-W, and I know peace. And if I didn't have God, which is what this book is about, to have me have this relationship with God, myself, and others, I would have no N-O peace, and then I would take the peace. So I'm just very, very affectionate and appreciative of God especially, but of the work in this program and all of you that have helped me do the work. And with that, I pass. Happy day, happy destiny. Thank you, Mo.
Yeah, thank you very much, Loretta H. from North Carolina. Up next is Della Jean. Give me your last initial and the state you're calling from, followed by Deborah G. Good morning, Della Jean.
Good morning. I'm Della Jean M. from Idaho. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater, trying to stay on my food plan while working toward a healthy body weight. I've been in and out of OA for 46 years, and I still struggle with overeating. I struggled yesterday. I stock up on food that is not healthy, and then if my family's coming over, I think to myself, where am I going to hide this food so they won't find out that I'm back into overeating again? Or I live in a building in which the door is locked, and if somebody comes, like I'll order food. I don't have a car, so I'll order food to be delivered, and then they have to buzz me to let me know to unlock the door. And so if I'm expecting some food, I won't answer my phone, because if it's one of my kids, they can hear the buzz over the phone and they'll know I called and had food delivered. And so I won't answer the phone if I'm expecting food to be delivered. Or if I'm wanting to overeat, I won't answer the phone. If I'm on the phone and I want to overeat, I'll make up a lie to get off the phone so I can overeat. Or again, if I'm in the middle of eating, I won't answer the phone. My family tries to control my overeating. I tell them they can't control me, and they guess they think if they can do it a little bit, somehow that will help. But of course it doesn't. Anyway, trying to share on what was read as close as possible. And with that, I pass. Thank you very much for letting me share.
Thank you, Della Jean M. from Idaho. Up next is Deborah G., followed by Eileen M. Good morning, Deborah G.
Hey, good morning, Mo. Thank you. Thank you so much. Good to hear your voice for your service today and everyone's service making this meeting possible. And welcome, welcome to all the newcomers. I'm so glad you're here with us. Oh, don't have to live like you're living. And thank you all for 12-stepping me with all your beautiful shares so far. So good to be reminded continually. And I was thinking about, I used to go to this one Al-Anon meeting, and in the kitchen, they had a big iron table. Everyone brought all these foods that they would make at the meeting and leave them there on the table for when after the meeting. I was going in there. I was thinking I'd come in that way and, you know, like, what's the word I want to use? Be aware of what's on that table. You know, that's all I was concerned about. I wasn't even thinking about connecting with other people. All I wanted was what's on that table. And I knew certain people made certain things. And then when the meeting was going, I would go in there and take a bunch of that food, go into the parking lot of the church, and I'd sit there on the curb and eating it, you know, so no one could see me, the shame. But yet doing it over and over and couldn't stop. And when I was with you, I wasn't with you when we would go out to eat. I was shoveling the food in, thinking about the food, and not hearing what you were saying, being with you. You know, it took me away from recovery with Al-Anon, hearing what I needed. It took me away from hearing you, being with you. And it's painful when I think about that. And I'm so grateful that I don't have to live like that today. And I can be present at a meeting and hear what's being said and be present with you and be hearing what you have to say, because it's very, very important. Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. And the connectedness more with people, more with that beautiful, divine, loving presence power in my life. It's just, it's a whole new world that can open up if I just take the action and do the work. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you very much, Deborah G. from Arizona. And up next, we have Eileen M., followed by Jessica M., and then after Jessica, I'll take another lineup of names. Good morning, Eileen.
Good morning. This is Eileen M., recovered compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. And I was just looking at the top of page 22. It says, you know, in the morning he searches madly for the bottle he misplaced the night before. And you notice how it says the word, you know, the adverb madly, after he searches, you know, he's searching with intensity or with, you know, desperation. And I can really identify with this because, you know, I'd binge and then the next morning, you know, I'd forget all about the binge. And, you know, I remember like lying in bed thinking, okay, there's no way I can face the day without getting up and getting that thing in the kitchen that I was eating the night before. And there would be times where, you know, I'd get up and go in the kitchen and there'd be an empty box in the trash and it was all gone. And I just remember that, you know, the letdown feeling of, oh, you know, I can't possibly face the day without that. Because, you know, I was depending on that. And, you know, I too can relate to, I used to cancel dates with men. They would ask me out, and I, you know, I'd be so excited to go on the date, and I'd be looking forward to it, and then I would overeat during the day, and I was too ashamed to go out with them, so I would cancel, you know, and I did that with girlfriends, too, you know. So, you know, this disease really affects relationships, you know, it interferes with developing friendships, and it just reminds me so much of, you know, I can't bring into my mind the humiliation and the, you know, the remorse of the last binge. you know, just can't do that. And, you know, while I was binging, I probably wasn't present or in the moment because, you know, I couldn't even remember that, hey, the next day, you know, I finished everything the night before. I couldn't, you know, I'd be searching for crumbs in the trash. And, you know, and it just, gosh, I'm so grateful. I don't have to live that way anymore. And, you know, none of us do. And there is a solution. So, you know, if you're struggling, you know, please keep coming back because this works. So thank you. I pass.
Thank you very much, Eileen M. All right, let me remind everybody where we're at before I take Jessica. We're in There Is a Solution. We're on page 21, paragraph, the ninth sentence down, about halfway through that paragraph. He has a positive genius for getting tight. And over onto page 22, it ends at the end of the paragraph. Then he begins to appear at hospitals and sanitariums. We're just studying those 11 sentences. So after Jessica, I will take another lineup. Good morning, Jessica.
Good morning. Hi, Jessica. Recovered in Michigan. Glad to be on the call today and glad for a meeting today. So I think what stood out to me from this passage was the progressive nature of this disease and the way that no matter what I did and no matter what, you know, this writer did, it progresses, you know, all of my efforts to try to stop it from progressing, to try to push back on it, to try to do something different, that kind of frenetic activity that I can get into when I'm in relapse or when I've been in relapse, you know, before I came into program was just this tremendous failure. Because this is not something that I was ever meant to have control over or ever meant to stop on my own without God. And I think in my pride, you know, before I came into program and in my pride and my relapse, you know, I wanted to fix it myself. You know, I don't know, I thought there was some kind of prize at the end of life if I, you know, fixed it on my own or didn't need any help. Somehow that was better. But this progressive nature of it is a great teacher for me in that I've never been meant to fight this on my own. I've never been meant to heal from this on my own. I had a moment recently, probably maybe the clearest moment I've had in a really long time, of true gratitude for an intractable problem in my life, not related to food, but because that problem drove me to God. And because that problem is so intractable in my life, I have to go to God. I have to. And I had a moment of just pure, unadulterated gratitude for that, for a problem that I can't fix. And that's a function of recovery and the recovery that God has gifted to me. And I see that in this paragraph. You know, as awful as it is when we get to our bottom and when the progressive disease gets progressive and hurts us, you know, for me, it drove me to program initially almost 20 years ago. And after 5.5 years in relapse, it drove me finally back to my knees, back to the program, back to God, because I could finally see that, nope, I can't do this alone, and I was not ever meant to. And so I am tremendously grateful for that today. I'm not always grateful that I'm a compulsive overeater on my best days, when I have enough humility, I am. But yeah, this progressive nature of the disease reminds me how much I need a spiritual life, how much I need God, how much I need other people in this program who can see and tell me when I am going off path and can help rescue me along with God. So I'm really grateful for that today, and I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jessica M. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on these 11 sentences?
Jody E.
Darian K.
Darian K.
Robin P.
Robin P.
Stephanie S.
I have Jody E., Darian K., Robin P., Stephanie S. Anyone else getting this lineup?
Luann C.
All right, we'll stop there, see how we do with time. All right, Jody E., Darian K., Robin P., Stephanie S., and Luann C. So please tell us your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. Good morning, Jody.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you so much for your service. This is Jody E., gratefully recovered in Monterey, California. Welcome, as was said, to our newcomers. We're so glad you're here. You are why we are here, those of us who have recovered. So, yes, I too had a positive genius for getting food drunk at the wrong moment, particularly when some important decision must be made or engagement kept. Absolutely. It was partly the stress of needing to make an important decision or keep an engagement that was stressful for me that I ate, because I wanted to avoid that, the feelings that came along with that, the dread, the uncertainty, the not knowing how to meet the occasion, not knowing how it might go, fearing that I wouldn't be enough, fearing that I wouldn't know what to say, wouldn't know what to do, I wouldn't be able to do it. So I would eat, and that would take me further down the scale, down the spiral, become more depressed, and even less able to meet the next challenge that came along. I was often sensible and well-balanced concerning everything except food. Well, not really. Not in my case, not so much. Because I used food from childhood. So I never learned how to meet the challenges of life. I always used food. And it really set me back emotionally and in every way. And I did not progress like most people do. I didn't graduate from college as a result of this evasion of hard things in life and food, for example. He often possesses special ability, skills, and aptitudes, and has a promising career. I do. In college, I had an aptitude for languages, which I was studying, three different languages, and I was very good at them, and yet I did not finish. He uses his gifts to build up a bright outlook and then pulls the structure down, and that's what I did. I did get married, but I did not graduate from college. I didn't even work for years. And at first, my husband was okay with that, but eventually it undermined the relationship. I depended on my husband too much. Yeah. Now, I'm not the super low bottom food addict that you might hear described by others. Thank you, Mo. I'm more of a high bottom food addict. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Jody E. from Monterey, California. Darian K., followed by Robin P. Good morning, Darian.
Oh, good morning, Mo. I'm Darian K. I live in the Berkshires in Massachusetts, and I'm grateful to be on the line with all of you this Memorial Day. I can relate in some ways to this paragraph. I remember distinctly when I was in college and I was dating my soon-to-be husband, we would go every Friday night for an ethnic food, and I would get the food, he would get the alcohol because that was his thing, and we had all these plans, to do afterwards, and including romance. And, both of us would pass out from our substances and nothing would happen. And it would be just sad when I think about it, just sad. And, I felt terrible, right? But then the next morning, or maybe even the next afternoon, I would heat up whatever was left over and do it all over again because I could not eat it. You know what I mean? I couldn't. It just was impossible for me. It was like, I don't know, a fish swimming, you know, out of water. I just couldn't. I had to stay in that water. I had to continue finishing whatever it was. I had no control, even though I knew that it was damaging my relationships. It was obviously damaging my body. And I, you know, I still did it. And I am just so grateful today that I don't have to fight that in my head, that chatter, that you know, prize fighter food, you know, doesn't try to get me down, you know, and hold me down. It's just, I have so much freedom because, you know, I know what I'm eating, and I know I have my program in my life, my meetings and my fellowship, and you know, I have a way of life today with my higher power, thank you God, that gives me freedom from that crazy obsession and compulsion to have to eat, you know, and it's just priceless, very, very priceless for me. And I hope I always remember that, because I too didn't really eat the way I really wanted to eat. And so I know my bottom can go even lower. That elevator has steps that go further down. So, you know, just grateful that I got off when I did, and that, you know, that I have all of you to be on this, you know, on this journey together with. So appreciate y'all. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, Darian K. Perfect timing. And up next is Robin P., followed by Stephanie S. Good morning, Robin.
Hey, Mo. Sorry, a big bus just drove by. I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Sardinia, Italy. And I'm really, really grateful to be abstinent today and on a meeting. And thank you for your service. You know, I was such a low bottom bulimic, and I missed so many amazing opportunities in relationships. And I just didn't have the confidence that I could show up for people. And I would cancel and think I better not go because I'll binge, and come home and binge. And just, I was living Russian roulette. And it was just such a tragic life. And and now we're traveling all through Europe. We're looking to see if we can live here for half the year, if it's God's will, and we're, you know, town and country shopping and abstinently, grace and mercy, and God takes care of us and me every day, and the angels show up every day. All I have to do is show up abstinently and be of service to God and my fellows, and people show up and they're of service to me. And I'm just so grateful. Every time something happens, an angel shows up, and it's a miracle, because it's such a different perspective. It's literally the opposite of that paragraph, and that hell and the isolation and the despair. And this time will be different, and it wasn't. And I'm so great that it's different now. I'm so grateful. My dad's dying, and it's really, really sad, and what's going on. And I, you know, just have a lot of feelings going on at the same time as experiencing all this beauty here. And I just get to take it a day at a time. I'm so powerless over what's going on, and we might have to fly back any day. And, you know, I'm grateful I got to say goodbye, but also now for the funeral. So I just, you know, I'm literally taking things a day at a time, and God's got us. And I'm so grateful for people's prayers and for my God squad and my sponsor. And I feel like I'm being carried. So even though I have a lot of emotion, God bless everybody with a really blessed, abstinent day. Thanks again, Mo. I pass.
Yeah, thank you, Robin P. And our hearts go out to you. Robin P. is from Costa Rica, although she's traveling right now. Up next is Stephanie S., followed by Luann C. Good morning, Stephanie.
Morning. This is Stephanie S. from Washington State. And reading these, this end of the paragraph, I read this with one of my sponsees yesterday, and I was reminded that, you know, if we're in the rooms, we most likely know we're a real alcoholic. So, but this whole paragraph kind of gives confirmation to me about the depth of my illness and my powerlessness. And I think it's easy for me to compare myself to people who share or people or even Bill. But at the same time, I can say, and I remember my sponsor said to me, well, you know, maybe try that substance you think is your alcoholic food and we'll see how that goes. And it kind of freaked me out. And I thought, you know, this is, and I'm not saying to do that, but I'm just saying for me, the more I'm in the rooms, the more I'm involved in service, I realize that I am, you know, I'm not a moderate drinker. I'm not just a hard drinker. I'm a real alcoholic with my alcoholic foods. And I could write paragraphs just like Bill did about what it looked like when I was in the food. And sometimes I didn't even realize I was in the food, right? Until now that I'm not, then I'm like, oh yeah, remember that, remember that, remember that. So anyway, I just, for the newcomers and for all of us to remember that, you know, our stories are going to be different than his, but we're all still powerless and we need, you know, a power greater than ourselves to help us. And I just am thankful that there are so many wonderful people out there that, and you guys know who you are, who have been there for me over the last few months with all the drama and intensity I've been going through. And I feel like I'm coming out of that dark tunnel, and yet, thank God he's kept me abstinent. But I pray that I won't have that mental twist, which is so easy, you know, it's so easy to go back to my old ways, but I just don't want to have an unmanageable life anymore now that I'm feeling like I'm breathing and up out of the water. I was drowning. Now I feel like, okay, I'm like not just paddling and wading in the water, but I am actually swimming, and it feels so good because that's what we were made to be, swimmers, not just, you know, drowning and screaming for help and letting ourselves go down with the food. So anyway, I'm just thankful to be here. I appreciate all that. And with that, I pass.
Perfect. All right. Thank you very much, Stephanie S. from Washington State. Up next is Luann C.
Good morning, Mo. And I'm just so appreciative of all the recovered shares on the line this morning. I'm Luann C. in Boise, Idaho, gratefully recovered today. This is one of those paragraphs I'm so grateful for. There's another one earlier, I think, but I'm grateful for it because it really gives me the insight into the suffering of my mother. You know, she suffered terribly from this disease and was misdiagnosed and given, you know, morphine so that she ended up being an addict. And, you know, there was a 12-step bias in her religious group, so she would never even think to do this program. So she was, you know, doing the pay and ways and, you know, in and out of asylums. And, you know, my family, we just judged her. All we saw was the outside. And there was just no compassion in our family for her. And this is, you know, one of those paragraphs that makes you really see the suffering of this person. And it has given me, you know, one of the gifts of the program, given me the insight into her suffering. And really, I have a fantastic relationship with her, even though she passed away in this disease. And so I'm so grateful for that. And so I, you know, really appreciate that I have the opportunity that she didn't have, this road, this pathway out of hell, that, you know, I can live a life that she wished for me. And I dedicate my my recovery to her, because, you know, I have an opportunity not to have that suffering and maybe help somebody else out too. So, so grateful, and just so happy to be here. Thank you, and I pass.
And thank you very much, Luann C. from Idaho. We have time for about a 2-minute share. We're on page 21, second paragraph. Halfway down, he has a positive genius for getting tight and ends on page 22 at the end of the paragraph. Then he begins to appear at hospitals and sanitariums. Who would like to take 2 minutes here?
Deb F. in Texas.
Deborah. All right. Tell us your last initial, Deborah. You're up.
It's F as in Frank. And okay. Thank you, Mo. And thank you for all the shares. It's been very helpful. And I just want to say that in my paces, in my disease, I have at one point did go to a hospital program, but wound up breaking out after a couple weeks because it just drove me up a wall. It drove me crazy. Oh, and I was so into exercise and as a means of controlling my weight at the time, I couldn't stand it. They were trying to make me walk slow and do everything slow and hardly eat anything. Oh, my gosh. but I just want to say that I'm just grateful for today, because after being in and out, in and out, in and out of all types of flavors of this program, here I am in vision, and doing the steps here has just helped me to turn my life around and put a focus on it. And I can relate to, you know, guys wanting to take me out on a date, and I had overeaten, and I just called and said, forget it. I don't, you know, I don't feel good, and never, you know, it just got in the way of a lot of things. And I can remember even as a new mom getting binging, and then I couldn't keep a play date, you know, with other moms because I felt sick, you know. And but today I get to have balance, and I get to show up in a lot of ways that I couldn't show up before. And like others shared, I have issues that I have to go to God for. Only God can solve them. And I'm just so grateful, because that's what this program shows me, you know. That's where my defense comes from, you know, from God. So anyway, thank you so much, everyone here. And it's one day at a time. Okay, I'll pass.
And thank you very much for closing us out. That was Deborah F. from Texas. Thank you all for your shares. It was a great meeting. And we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I am going to ask Melanie C. to please read A Vision for You.
Thank you. Hey, good morning, everyone. Melanie C. here from Canby, Oregon, recovered compulsive overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely be with us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.